Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 500 years ago today, on April 18th, 1521, Martin Luther stood before the emperor, church officials, German princes, and electors, and he was on trial for his life. It was called a diet, an imperial assembly, and it occurred in the German city of Worms. Luther was on trial on basically whether or not he would be condemned as a heretic. Heretics did not do well in the world in those days. It wasn't a theological issue. It meant that you could be burned at the stake. That's what they did to John Huss. Now, Luther was there to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was convinced by scripture that a person could not be saved by buying some indulgences or by working your way into heaven. A person could only be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Apart from works, it is the gift of God. Romans 3:28 says, "We hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law." That is what Luther boldly preached, and now his life is threatened because that is what he believes. And he is under pressure to take back his preaching, his teaching, and the books that he wrote. Now, all Luther has to do is recant his teaching, take it back, and deny that which he has taught for the last 4 years since 1517, when he pounded those 95 theses on the church door of Wittenberg. So the question is asked of Luther Martin, answer clearly and without any double talk. Do you or do you not recant your books and the errors in them? Luther's answer, unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not retract anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me. Amen. Here I stand. Luther would not compromise on the truth of the scriptures. Here I stand. These words continue to inspire Christians today all over the world to stand up against persecution and against false doctrine. In a day and age when people routinely reject the truth of God's word, it is important for us to make our own public confession. It is important for us to say, here we stand. What I want to share with you today, based on the scriptures, is three things. Number one, who we stand against. Number two, what we stand for. And number three, how we stand together. First of all, number one, who do we stand against? We stand against the enemy. We are in a battle, but it is not against flesh and blood. Our adversary is the devil. He is the one we stand against. And the scriptures make that perfectly clear. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And then Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. The Bible calls us to stand firm against our enemy. Our enemy is not people. People are the ones God came to save. Our enemy is the devil. He attacks us in every way possible, but the greatest attacks that he performs are spiritual. Physical battles are fought with spiritual weapons. Spiritual battles are fought with spiritual weapons. Words. The devil fights with his own spiritual weapons. We call them lies. John 8, verse 44, Jesus says, "The devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now, we stand against the devil. We stand against the lies of the devil, who wants to deceive us. And so what we need to do is, as Ephesians 6 tells us, to prepare for battle. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 13 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." There's such a theme in the Bible, to stand firm against the enemy. The way to overcome a lie is with the truth. But that begs the question, where can we find the truth? It's good to know what we stand against, but what do we stand for? The great philosopher of the 1980s, John Cougar Mellencamp, he said, "You gotta stand for something, or you're gonna fall for anything." In our gospel lesson today, the resurrected Lord appears to his stunned, amazed, and joy-filled disciples and teaches them exactly what we as Christians stand for. First of all, we stand on the truth of the scriptures, God's word. Jesus said, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus pointed the disciples first and foremost to the truth of the word of God. The scriptures had already foretold all the events that would happen, that the Christ would suffer, that he would die, and that 3 days later he would be raised again. In a world full of half-truths and political spin, false doctrines and deceit, we can always find truth in the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Luther, like the apostles before him, stood on the word of God. "My conscience is captive to the word of God." We too take our stand on God's word, whether it's popular or not. God's word will prevail. God's word will overcome the lies of the devil and the world around us. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. We stand on the scriptures, and we stand, secondly, on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus continues, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." Jesus suffered and died, but on that third day he rose victoriously from the grave. And now Jesus stands in the midst of the disciples to prove to them that he has risen physically, bodily from the dead. He shows them his wounds. He even eat some broiled fish with them. He is no spirit. He is no figment of their imagination. He has risen bodily, physically from the dead. The resurrection is not a theory. It's not a philosophical idea. The resurrection is a historical fact. In fact, it is the most important event in all of history. And the resurrection is the hope that we stake our lives on. Because Christ was raised from the dead, we will be raised also. Because Christ lives, we shall live also. And that's the reason Luther said, "Here I stand." He was willing to die because he believed in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. We stand on the scriptures, we stand on the resurrection of the dead, and we stand for the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. Jesus showed the disciples the truth of the scriptures and the truth of his resurrection. And now he gives them their glorious and world-changing mission. Jesus says, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name of Jesus to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, but he didn't do it just to prove a point. He didn't do it just to show off. He did it for a reason, the most important reason in the world, the forgiveness of our sins. And we need that forgiveness. We depend on that forgiveness. We live in that forgiveness. God calls us to stand on these truths, but we are human beings, sinful human beings. And sometimes we're not as courageous as we need to be. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we deny the truth. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we don't live up to the truth that we believe. Sometimes we don't take a stand. We're human. We're not perfect. We're sinners. That is why the truth of the scriptures, the truth of Christ's resurrection, is important. He died and rose again for a purpose, to forgive sinners, sinners like us. We sometimes fail to stand for Jesus, but he never fails to stand for us. He stood in our place and received the punishment that we deserve and gives us the salvation that he deserved as a free gift. He is the one who stands with us, and he continues to stand by our side in every and any situation. Hebrews 13, verse 5 promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We stand against the enemy. We stand for the truth. And we never stand alone. We stand together. We stand with Christ and with all the saints who have put their trust in him. We stand with all the saints who have gone before us, all the saints on earth right now, and all the saints who come after us. Hebrews 10 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Like Luther, it is now our turn, our opportunity to make the good confession of faith. The world is not a better place here in the 21st century than it was in the 16th century. The world still opposes the truth of God's word. And we know the devil has not given up. The devil is still hard at work. He continues to deceive people left and right with his lies and his false teachings. More than ever, we need faithful Christians who stand for the truth, who stand for God's word, who stand on the reality of the resurrection, who stand for the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. Faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone. We need Christians to make this good confession, but we don't make this confession by ourselves. It's such a privilege each week when we get together, because what we do when we gather together is make our public confession. What we do when we get together is say, here is we stand, and we do that every time we make our confession of faith, usually the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. When we do that, what we are doing is confessing what we believe, what we teach, and confess. We are confessing, here we stand. What do we believe in? We believe in God the Father, the one who created us. We believe in God the Son, who by his blood redeemed us. And we believe in God the Holy Spirit, who through word and sacrament sanctifies us in the true faith. That's our confession, our public confession. It is the Christian church saying, here we stand. That's why Hebrews encourages us not to neglect meeting together. So important. I'm so glad you're here today. Don't let us neglect meeting together. Let us consider instead how to stir up one another to love and good works, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, so that the world may hear our confession in the one triune God. He who promised is faithful, and he will stand with us to the very end. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.